Dream it, believe it, become it. Welcome to the very first edition of The Fight is Right. I'm going to say it again.
Come on down!
The very first edition of The Fight is Right. And I'm honored to present my co-host, a man that many people know, the one and only Spencer Fearon, also known as the Master Knowledge.
That's right. Big up my brother, Baba Tunde Ajayi. You know what I mean? Master Genius. You know what I mean? The pad technician. The man that's got more combinations than a safe breaker. You know how it goes. But we're going to talk about the fight.
Yes.
The weekend fight was very, very serious, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, Errol Spence, Sean Porter. It was a beautiful fight, man.
Yes, especially when I don't watch boxing.
Well, you better start watching it now, mate.
Yeah, I'm converted. What a fight. You know, it's so funny because I was in a gym a few years back, in Floyd Mayweather's gym, and I watched the two of them spar.
Mm. You got the better of the spar.
We don't talk about spar.
No, we do.
We don't talk about spar.
So we tell him before then. I'm like, oh yeah, I saw this spar. Okay, what happened to this spar? We don't talk about spar. Why did you mention it?
No, but you know why?
Shut up.
No, let me tell you why. Because I know, you know, Errol's a very serious guy. Yeah. He takes everything serious and in a professional manner. And, you know, I was there when he sparred Floyd Mayweather. And but one thing I would say where Sean Porter's concerned, if anyone who knows Sean and his father, they work on particulars. Yeah. So, you know, I know, like...
I know, they're specific.
Me and Anthony, we always crack up on it, because one day we was in a Devin Haney, Bill Haney's gym. We was all there, myself, O'Hara Davis, Junior Benjamin, Otis Saba, and... Sean's dad got in a ring and he's like, no Sean, you're not doing it properly, Sean. I want you to go left, right, and then come over with a hook. So that's the thing about the Porter. So, you know, you can't look at it from a situation where you say he got the better, because you don't know. Sean and his father were working on specific, and Errol was being what he always is, his man down.
Yeah, but it's like, when you see, like, with Sean Porter, especially, like, for the build-up for this fight, you know what? I got to give him maximum respect, because I thought he was going to lose on points, but I had a sneaky feeling that Errol Spence could stop him, especially, like, when he's up close and from his southpaw position, that he'll throw a left hook.
Yes.
But he drives that shot in. And I thought that shot was going to catch him. And sometimes we've seen in, like, a couple of, like, down the stretch, Sean Porter, he kind of... the wear and tear of the rounds, they get the better of him. Mm-hmm. But in this fight here, he made weight properly, and that's the most important thing, right?
Yes.
So he made the 147 correctly. Like you were saying, like, I've been on weight for like a week now. Everything's according to plan. I've been eating for the week. And when he said that, then you got to realize, because even though he's not a tall guy, but he's very, very thick set. Yes. He's broad-shouldered, and he's very...
So to cut you, I know in the amateurs, he fought...
And
Danny Jacobs.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, you're talking about a 160 fighter who's probably a 200-pound fighter.
Yeah, exactly.
And Usyk is a unified cruiserweight champion who's moved up to heavyweight. Right. So these are big guys.
Big guys. But, like, when you look on now with what Sean Porter did in that fight, when you get great fights...
Yes.
And that was a great fight. That's, like, a great fight of the year. Candidate, no about that.
Absolutely.
When you see a great fight, you don't really look at who won or who lost, you know. You're reminiscing about the fight. Mm. And it was close.
Mm.
And it was justified in being a split decision. And not to the fact that we were over gassing on Errol Spence. I think we underestimated Sean Porter and his desire. And it was like, I spoke to Kenny Porter on Sunday. And Kenny said, Spence, if I don't laugh, I'm gonna cry. Mm. You know what I mean? And like, but what he's done
did he feel that his son won the fight?
He said it was a close fight. He didn't deny the fact it was a close fight, But you know what? In fights like that, he could have actually got the nod. But the knockdown was decisive.
Deciding factor.
Yeah, it was. It was decisive to the fact that, you know what, it's a close fight and I've got to do something to really impress the judges.
Yes.
And that knockdown, but you know what? I rate Holloway, Sean Porter has brushed it up, has got back up there. Come, let's go again.
Yeah, great fight. You know what I look at? You know what I look at? I look at the fact that, I know we're talking about a different fighter, but Broner dropped Porter as well.
But wait a minute. You know that was a catchweight fight, right?
Okay.
Remember? It was at 143.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was at 143. Remember, Broner just come off with a loss against Madonna, and that fight was a catchweight fight, 143. And it was that was a wicked left hook. Remember, he dropped. I'm sure it was a left hook. It was
a lead
left hook in the last round. But I'm also saying we all know. Remember, you say like Sean Porter was probably 200 pounds walking around at 200 pounds, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
To get down to 1%. That's 57 pounds of weight coming off of you, know?
Yeah,
and right.
You know what? It's funny because when we were in Vegas and the time we spent in Vegas, it seems to be like a norm. Fighters are, you know, overseas, they're always talking about losing so much weight. And I to this day, I can't get around it. You know, Errol, definitely, I see Errol with my own eyes.
Bruv.
200 pounds.
Bruv, if not more than that. I see Errol Spence. When was it? What was it for Mayweather? What was it? Mayweather versus Canelo.
Canelo, yes.
Right, remember who was out there, right?
Yes.
And I see Errol Spence out in the casino.
Yes.
I couldn't believe the size of him. I couldn't believe the size
of him. It's amazing.
He's massive, you know.
It's amazing. I don't know how they do it. But the number one question everyone is asking. Credit to Sean. Put up a tremendous fight and
Tom, this is good coffee, you know. I'm going to tell you shit. I don't know what kind of juju man you're going to, but that coffee's on point.
You know, I'm a genius when it comes to coffee. But I think the question everyone is asking, can the number 2 pound for pound ranked, according to Ring Magazine, welterweight, Terence Bud Crawford defeat Errol Spence? That's what I want to know. I want your expert opinion.
All right. I'm just being real. Yeah? I'm just being real.
Yes.
I saw flaws inside Errol Spence on the weekend. But I think it was the style, that perpetual motion, that bullying. You got to think. Sean Porter was in on Errol Spence.
Yes.
Like, it was on his chest like he was belling him.
Yeah, but I think everyone knows that's how Sean... I remember I was outside Floyd Mayweather's gym. And I remember his dad vividly saying, Floyd Mayweather don't want this work, man. Floyd Mayweather don't want this work. You know, Sean's all round for him, man. And you know what? You look at Sean and you can actually see how he would give a fighter ilk trouble.
He's you got to think, his style, I see little bits of him. I see a lot on certain things of how he throws his hands.
Again, credit. Sorry, credit to Kell Brook. Because you done the business, Kell. He beat Sean.
You know what? That was a close fight.
No,
it was a close fight.
No.
I'm just being real. It was a close fight.
It went because Kell came from Sheffield. This is what I'm trying to say. It's always us going to the backyard. And we're proving that we can do it. And put up great... You know yourself. You know about the whole energy factor.
Yeah, yeah.
When I think that's why it's such a big thing when someone goes over to another man's backyard and even challenges him. So, again, we're gone off subject, but no, not really, because Kel's saying he's gone back down to
he's gone back down to
what. So we'll discuss that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Right. So I'm just go back to, if you look at Terence Crawford, and Terence Crawford, what's he ranked? Pound for pound, number two, Ring
Number
magazine.
Two, yes.
Number two, who is it? Lomachenko's number one.
Oh, on a proper pound for
pound,
I believe that's right. Yeah.
In there, but you know, it's up for debate, right? It's up for debate because you know what? Well, Canelo could be pound for pound number one, but on that rankings, but in the welterweight 147 rankings, Errol Spence is ranked higher than Terence Crawford. A lot of people say, "Oh, how does that work?" And I'm gonna break it down. It's quite simple. On the pound for pound rankings, they're actually saying pound for pound. So it's saying like, if it's to accumulate everything that that Terence Crawford's done in his career, right? From being lightweight, like welterweight and welterweight champion, he has accomplished more than what Errol Spence has done. But at this particular weight, because Errol Spence has beaten better quality of opponents, you've got to say that he's beaten better quality of opponents.
You
than
think so?
The win he has done. All right, check this one out. No disrespect to Amir Khan before he thinks I'm hating him, right? Amir Khan, it's the fact that the fights are not there or they're not being available for Terence Crawford because PBC's got their fighters and PBC's fighters ain't going to be mixing with Bob Arum's top ranked fighters. So it's difficult for Terence Crawford to get that fight. But just similar to when Roy Jones moved up to heavyweight and beat John Ruiz. Incredible performance. 2003. Lennox Lewis was still WBC champion. He won the WBA title. In the pound for pound rankings, Roy Jones was still number one pound for pound.
Yes.
But at that weight, right? Lennox Lewis was the man. He was the man. And quite rightly.
So what you're saying is that Errol deserves to be there?
Yeah, he does. He does.
But, okay. So, okay, I'm not disagreeing you, but we're disagreeing with you, but I'm putting a point across.
All right. You're Errol playing God's Spence, advocate, yeah? You're playing God's advocate.
I like that one.
Right. You don't play no devils,
you know? I like that one. Errol Spence, last fight was against Mikey Garcia.
Yeah.
He took his O. That's a big scalp. I believe that the only other O, there might be one other that Errol Spence has taken, is a guy called, a Ghanaian guy, Latte. Remember that fight?
Latte clapped him. Latte hurt him, you know? I'm telling you. Latte winning that fight with some powder on his hand, you know?
So, but then, if we look at Bud.
Yeah. At 147.
It don't matter.
At 147.
To me, it's the quality of the fight.
Yeah. But at 147,
I say that
though.
Because Terence Crawford has taken the O of Gamboa.
Yeah, and Gamboa was
Terence Crawford has taken the O of Victor Postol.
Now, very true.
Terence Crawford has taken the O of Jose Benavides. What can I even say his name? Benavides.
Benavides.
His brother who won.
Yeah. On the weekend.
The superweight title.
On the weekend.
These are top guys.
Yes, I totally agree with
these
you.
These are top guys. There may be, Benavides is a welterweight. I think he may have started up as a, but that's clever matchmaking because I remember the rumor about Benavides dealing with Khan in sparring. So they made it, you know, me having my manager's head on, okay, I've just done Amir, so let me fight the man that, maybe they wasn't thinking, maybe I'm overthinking it, that we know dominated Khan in sparring.
And
he stopped he stopped these guys.
Yeah, I know.
These are good scalps from Crawford.
Yeah, they're excellent scalps. But what I'm saying is, let Errol Spence have that number one position right now. But I think if he was to go face Terence Crawford, I saw flaws in Errol Spence. And
but was they flaws? Sorry to cut you. Was they flaws, or was it merely a fact?
There were flaws.
That this was a guy that had been in there with, I think Porter's been in there with Garcia. Has he been in there
Furman.
With Furman?
Yep. He's been in with guys. He's been in with guys.
And
Malinaji.
These are levels.
Devin Alexander.
Come on, man. So that is really, apart from Garcia, that's really Errol's proper fight, you know, and against a guy who's mentally, can match him mentally. You saw the whole build up.
It was on him.
Porter was showing him that this is going to be a fight. Not only that,
right.
I feel that.
And because of that, then, because of all of them things, from what we're saying about Sean Porter, that is the reason why Errol Spence should be number one welterweight. Because Sean Porter is a serious guy. And Sean Porter has improved since the Kell Brook fight.
So what happens between Bud and Porter? That's the fight.
Yeah, right. I'm
what
you know
happens
what?
Between
you know what?
Bud and Porter?
I'm
that's the fight.
Yeah. I'm slightly favouring Crawford to outbox him and beat him on points because he's
you
got
can't
more.
Outbox you don't Porter's not a guy you start boxing with.
No, no, you're gonna have to fight. No, no, I'm saying Errol Spence. I'm saying that Bud Crawford would. I got Bud Crawford.
But yeah, we know that. Yeah. But I'm saying, what do you think about Bud? I mean, we're going off subject again. Fine. But Bud and Sean Porter.
That's a wicked fight. And you know what? I would love for that fight to happen.
Reason
why I'd love to see that fight. I'll tell you why. But I think like Terence Crawford said, I ain't gonna fight him because he's my brethren or something like that.
Forget all that.
Yeah, come on. Like legacy, come on. Bridges after the fight. Because I know Porter and Spence cut some peas on the weekend and him to the bridges, right?
Yes.
If Terence Crawford was to fight Sean Porter's style would give him that night, you know?
I'm telling you.
Would give him that night.
So just remember where you heard it first. You heard it on The Fight Is Right, Sean Porter versus Terrence Brad Crawford. Yeah, but anyway.
Big boy fight. You know what? I'm going to get on the phone and start. I'm going to ring Kenny Porter in a minute, man.
We went out
presenting. Yeah, that's a big fight. But let's talk about Errol Spence now. The next fight. He's going to fight Danny Garcia.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's going to fight Danny Garcia.
I'm going to phone Danny
He's going to fight. Listen, you got to see like what PBC are doing is this. And like, I understand it, yeah?
Yes.
Because they've got their commodities and they're not going to boost up no one else's commodity. But let's not forget who Terrence Crawford is. Let's not forget like the guy is a supreme athlete.
Yes.
Right? He's an excellent boxer and he's a very, very he's very well thought of. I like the things that he's done. I remember when he came over here to fight Ricky Burns and I was doing the technical
and breakdown. We done that in your house.
In my house, we sat down and watched the fight.
And the people say, what are them bloody... What are them bloody 2-0? Yeah. Tundi, bloody Roger Bateman, but what are they? And I told them that this guy turned cool for me.
What I
see... What I see was something special.
He's serious. I mean, like I said, he's a very, very serious guy. But Danny and Errol, that would be a good fight, you know.
Danny and Errol Spence.
Because, obviously,
when myself and Anthony Yard went over to Atlantic City, we drove down to Philly.
Yeah.
And we was with his dad and Danny. Beautiful people, dedicated to their craft. All they know is about his hard work. And it, you know what? It makes me laugh because I remember when Danny was coming up and people were saying he's rubbish. He ain't that good. And then he fought Ashley Theopane.
Yeah.
Ashley put up probably the best performance of his career.
Life, brother.
Big up Ashley.
Split decision, you lost.
Split decision, Ashley, the treasure, Theopane. You know, and I think even then people didn't really rate Danny. It was the fight against Amir Khan.
That was his bust night. If you need a night that you're going to blow on the scene, that was his night.
And that left hook.
That left hook was serious. But when we talk about this left hook, man, go watch it. It was kind of similar to when Oliver McCall knocked out Lennox Lewis. Because he didn't plan to throw. He just threw the shot.
But people say...
That's not lucky. There's no lucky shot. Because when you throw a shot, you're meaning to lick something.
How can it be lucky when he's done it numerous times?
Right, but that was vicious. When he clapped Amir Khan, But are we seeming to forget, Amir Khan was boying him in that fight, you know?
Was he what?
Amir Khan was dealing with him. I need to watch that fight again. Amir Khan's hands are ridiculous,
you
man.
Know,
seriously.
I'm a great Amir Khan supporter. I just believe... what he's done for British boxing is incredible. I don't know how anyone could hate on him. But, I mean, I need to watch that fight again.
Watch it again, man. Seriously.
Because, you know, it's like a football match. Nobody cares about the 70th and the 89th minute. It's 100%. What the 90th minute is. And I just remember the left hook. That's all I remember about the fight. So, and I know it's a shot that Danny... I was watching him spar and I remember my guy from The Boxing Voice... what's the guy who runs the boxing force?
Nesto.
I remember he wasn't happy with the sparring that Danny was getting in preparation for... What fight was that? It was a big fight. It was when we was there. What was Danny's... Anyway, but I remember me and Anthony was watching the sparring and the left hook, it's such a natural shot. Mm. Now, is that enough to bother Errol? Because Errol looks like he's got a sturdy chin as well. You know, well, you have to when you dedicate yourself that much.
But who was it? Bob Padgett, right? Remember Bob Padgett?
Bob Padgett, yeah.
Bob Padgett. Always say, yeah, like Spence, the way they deal with South Boys, people will keep on worrying about front or right, and you're throwing the bloody left hook. Right? So Bob always says from when I was young.
Yeah.
So, and I've seen like guys who do throw the left hook and get success from it. I remember when Aldi Arison got knocked out by Michael Sprott.
Yes.
Right?
Ooh. Right. I was there.
That was a horrible
knockout. Michael ran. Like he just teeth something. He ran when the shot landed. You remember?
No, he ran around. It's like he was mad. He did teeth something. He stole all the house and senses. But there's no bless on all these my guys still. But if them two fight, and they are gonna fight, right? But, and this is the thing is, I remember when nobody wanted to fight Errol Spence. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Nobody wanted to fight him.
That's true.
Right? When he was calling out all guys. I remember when he was sat on Showtime with Keith Thurman. And they were talking about him fighting. And they just avoided this. Both of them sat there. But Keith Thurman just avoided that of like Errol Spence. Because everyone knows that Errol Spence is serious.
So do you think now that this fight is finished that people see... I mean, you just alluded to it that there's vulnerability in Errol.
I'll tell you what, there are vulnerabilities, but I believe that it takes somebody of the style of Sean Porter to expose those vulnerabilities.
Yes.
Because remember, he's on you like white on rice. So he's just on you. He was annoyingly on. Yes. And he wasn't just on him, he was giving angles, but we've seen him in his work. He was like shifting to the right, shifting to the left, throw the shot. Like he would ship over to his left, but he'd throw like a straight left hand and he'd come down to the body. Obviously done his homework. You know what I mean? And plus, and he brought in Barry Hunter as well. So, you know what I mean? And Barry knows the game.
Inside out.
As well as having his dad there. So, you know what I mean? He had a beacon of knowledge around him as well. So then they worked out what they worked out. But still, at the end of the day, the result was the result.
Yes.
And the result was fair. It wasn't a robbery. The result was fair because of the knockdown.
But I feel that Errol pressured the fight, the whole fight.
He did, and that's the thing. I think Errol Spence could be just believing his own hype. Like, right, you know what? I'm going to just turn over, man. I'm going to knock out guys. I don't know. Or maybe Porter got into his head where he said, right, you know what? I'm just going to go deal with you, you know?
No, I mean, I think the whole point of being a great champion is adjusting to all styles. So, like, in the Garcia fight, Errol wanted to prove to everybody
that he could box.
I can box you. It was a way smaller guy.
Yeah.
And I think that him being so big and having that power, it's like just fighting a lightweight. He just controlled the situation. Yeah. But I think he actually met someone who is as strong as him and who's got an awkward style, but he came through. It's like when Floyd fought Maidana, the first fight. That was a close fight.
It was a close fight. I was there for that fight.
Yeah.
I remember I FaceTimed you from there.
Yeah,
I
knew and then the second fight, Floyd said, all right, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
I just boxed your ears off. So...
So how do you think Danny Garcia would do against Sean? I mean, against Errol Spence?
That's a good fight. I'm just going to be honest. I think knowing both fighters, people forget that Danny was unified.
He was unified when he beat Amir Khan. Yeah.
Danny, listen, he's got that spirituality, him and his father. They got that close connection. And... I've been in the gym with them and it's not something that you can really explain. It's like, where does the power come from when he throws that left hook? You know, that's invisible power because he doesn't even load up. It's like it's the hand. And I saw Errol take a few shots, which you're inevitably going to when you facing a pound for pound or an elite fighter. But what makes you an elite fighter is that you're able to weather that storm and come back. And as he did, drop him. So, Danny's never touched the floor. Has Danny ever touched the floor in a fight?
No, I don't believe he has, no.
I ain't never seen Danny touch the floor. And I see him make people touch the floor.
Yeah, but what I've noticed with Danny Garcia, you give him a boxer.
Yes.
And he does suffer a little bit. I mean, Paulie Malagi, he suffered in that fight. Poorly boxed very, very well. Did a good game plan, very, very good movement, right? Anyhow you come to fight Danny Garcia.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, so but that's what I say. That's where I think the IQ of Errol Spence will come into play. You remember, that's why I never fall into another fighter's game plan. or allow another fighter to take me off my game plan. I think Errol, it wasn't he got exposed, he's vulnerable. What he allowed himself to do was get drawn into the battle. Because all I heard was, I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to knock you out. I mean, that's all I heard for the whole run-up. I'm going to knock you out. Don't worry about it. I ain't going nowhere. And so maybe, you know, because of that, because he put so much focus on the KO, it didn't come. Mm-hmm. If he maybe was just the normal Errol Spence, break a man down systematically, it would have been a night where he probably would have got that KO.
Yeah, for real. Anyway, let's change it up a bit.
Yes.
Derek Chisora hasn't got an opponent.
Oh my
goodness. Because allegedly Joseph Parker got bitten by a spider. Or something like that.
Is that what it is?
Some spider bit him, he's going to turn into Spider-Man. So I really like the Spider-Man. He's going to be New Zealand Spider-Man flying around the place or something. So he's not... He's out. There's been calls for loads of different opponents, yeah?
Yes.
Now...
Oh, man. I was looking forward to that fight.
Yeah, so was I. I was, and I think the show was needed of that fight because I think that was a very, very good fight on the way out. So... But I think David Haynes now said, like, they're looking for an opponent for him now. Eddie Hearn's put out a poll to say who should they get in. And yes. Everybody's voted for Shannon Briggs.
Let's go, champ.
Yeah.
Has he got his license in this country?
Yeah, remember he boxed there a few years ago on David Haynes' card. Remember?
Okay.
Yeah, remember? Yeah, he did. So, but that's the call. The call is being out for Shannon Briggs. A lot of people say, well, what about Big Baby Miller? Will Big Baby Miller come out and fight him? And you know what? And they are quite similar.
When is the date?
October 27th.
October 27th. Yeah. So we're now in October.
Yeah, so we've got another 25 days. So they've got to find someone in. And the thing about it is, it's a good thing that Eddie Hearn's got his own and some Sky money behind it, because whoever's going to come and try and fight Derek Chisora now, they're going to ask for a fat check. But we don't know what could happen. Maybe it could be a fact, right? And well, he's out of the fight.
Yes.
But you know when it goes, when you're looking for somebody, they're going to think, well, Derek Chisora, he did have a very, very impressive win against Spilker last time out. Yes. That knockout was very impressive.
Vicious.
Then, you know that money's gone up.
Yes.
And then people say, well, you ain't time to prepare. And I even heard talk of Oscar Rivas, right? And I spoke to Dylan White yesterday, and Dylan was saying, listen, if Oscar Rivas is training, Derek don't want that work.
Is that what he
said? Yeah, he said, you don't want that work, brother. You don't want that work. So, I don't know. But
I don't know. Derek is a person that you can't read Derek. You can't say because I fought him and I had a tough fight, you're going to give Derek a tough fight. Because Derek has the ability, he's like an X-Man. He will just change on the night. He said it for this fight. The whole team said that the preparation was crazy. They was going to pull Derek out of the fight. But he goes out there
and bang him out
and puts on probably one of the best knockouts of his career. So I would say that whoever's fighting Derek, better man.
Yeah, yeah.
So Derek could knock out Oscar Rivas, in my opinion.
Okay.
I believe, you know, I said it. If that fight is made, I believe he can knock him out. Because Derek, I've been around Derek from... I was in the corner for the Klitschko fight.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the corner when Derek fought for the European title against the Swedish guy.
Hilenius.
Yeah. I was there. Yeah, I've been with Derek.
They robbed him bad in that fight.
Derek, and I know when Derek's up for something, he's a very, very hard man to move. So I hope that Eddie and DAZN and David Hay can get a great opponent. But as we say, it's, 3 weeks?
3 weeks. So it's going to be a bit difficult. But if I wouldn't mind Shannon Briggs, you know.
Shannon Briggs is, but right. I'm not lying. I like Shannon Briggs.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I wouldn't mind Shannon Briggs. And the reason why I wouldn't mind Shannon Briggs, because...
Can he beat Derek?
Can Shannon Briggs beat Derek Chisora? I wouldn't think he could at this stage of his career.
Why?
I just wouldn't think he could. You know what I mean? He's very motivational. I get G'd up when he starts to talk to Let's Go Champ and everything else.
Do you know... Just in case the fans didn't, Shannon Briggs has the most first round KOs in the history of boxing.
That's nuts, isn't it?
Shannon Briggs ain't a joker. So nuts. You better keep. That's how David never fought him. Because this guy's serious. You know, Shannon Briggs is a guy, and because of the energy what he brings, he's going to be a dangerous opponent. There's a reason why these current heavyweights don't want to fight.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Because he brings an energy which, you know, it's like, do I really need this?
Yeah, you don't need that work. But the thing will be, like, me personally, if they were to say, well, who could Derek Chisora fight in this time? I would say Big Baby Miller, for the simple fact because I think both of their styles would complement each other. Big Baby Miller is not a concussive puncher. Right?
Yes, yes.
Derek Chisora is not a concussive puncher, but all of a sudden he starts to get some superpower.
Right? You look like a concussive puncher.
Yeah, exactly. He starts to get some superpower. I don't know. You know what I mean? Some, I don't know what's going on there.
Remember Derek as well. Derek had success quite early on. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, you get the success, you get the money. It's like the drive. Is there any ever drive or motivation? You know, he's, I don't know if he's Derek's married, but
I know he's
got a child. Yeah. With a young lady and a, you know, family man and everything. But, you know, if he's got the hunger back, we've seen, you know, he's putting in good performances.
Yep. What have we got? We're going to move on now, right?
Yes.
The golden contract. MTK Global or on Sky TV. I have to be on MTK Global because I run the foundation. But not only that, but they're my family, right? Yes. But wicked show. And it's a really good concept.
I don't know too much about it, but I've heard that it's...
Well, Ryan Walsh, right, so what they do, 8 fighters, they match them up, they do a draw, Leighton gets the balls out, you do a draw, and then you pick who you're going to fight, and then Sky are showing it. It's going to be a fantastic show tomorrow. If you ain't got your ticket to go down to York Hall tomorrow, I think it's sold out, but try and go, because it's going to be really cool. If you don't, you can catch it on Sky from, I think it's from like 8 o'clock. But...
So, one question. Are these contests 12-round fights?
No, 10-round fights. 10-round fights, and then I think it's a month later or 6 weeks later, then you go fight again.
Okay.
So, it is really good. So, and they've got some good guys in it. Because, like, you worked with Ryan Walsh, right, didn't you?
Yeah.
You worked with Ryan Walsh.
Ryan and Liam for one fight. I think they both got first-round KOs.
Yeah.
So at Excel Center. I think Khan was on that bill, yeah.
Yeah. Was that Ralph? That's a little while ago.
Yeah, there, long time. When Khan fought over the XL.
A little while ago.
Great, yeah.
So, they got some really good guys on it. So, there's a kid called Socorras, right? Cuban boy.
Okay.
Good fighter. He's unbeaten as well. I think he's 20 with 3 draws. But Socorras chose Ryan Walsh.
He chose him?
Yeah, he chose him. He said, yeah. He'll pick the ball come. He said, yeah, I'll pick you.
Is there any footage on this Socorras guy?
Yeah, he's a busy fighter. He's unbeaten. He's got 3 draws on his record as well, but he's a busy fighter.
Well, straight off the bat, I've not seen Socorras fight, but I know Ryan Walsh. Ryan Walsh can throw many punches. So if the guy's a busy fighter, he's going up against a busy fighter. And Ryan... being around the three brothers, Michael, Liam, and Ryan himself, both brothers will tell you Ryan's the hardest puncher. And this is what I say about boxing. It's such a unique sport in the sense that just because you can punch in the gym or on the pads, it don't mean you're going to knock someone out. Because a knockout is an art. But they both brothers, Liam and Michael, tell me that Ryan is the hardest puncher out of all of them. Ryan goes to the body extremely well. So I don't know, the fact that this guy's got 3 draws in his record, that could be a 50-50. It means that he's won them on what he shows.
Yeah, it could be. But this Socorras guy, I see like, what's he, Haroon Socorras, he throws this overhand shot. I see him on the pads, the little open workout thing down at the Repton gym.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And it was like, he's coming to try and knock out, man. I'm just being real, he's trying to come knock out, man. We've got David Oliver Joyce, remember we met him last week
at Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, at Ultimate Fighter.
Yes.
He was there with, who was it? McDonough.
Sonny.
The
winner.
Yeah, the winner.
Donnelly.
Sonny,
yeah.
So I like Donnelly.
Shout out to Donnelly, man.
Yeah, nice guy, man.
We done a little post about him.
Yeah, and David Joyce fighting Lee Woods. Lee Wood ain't no joke, you know. Lee Wood can box. Lee Woods lost to Gavin McDonald in 2014 for the British Super Bantamweight title. That's his only loss in his record. There's no shame in that. You know what I mean? Gavin McDonald. Jamie's brother.
Jamie's brother, yeah. Good fighter.
Yeah, so there's no shame in that.
Yes.
But this is at featherweight now.
Okay.
So that's a good fight. Joyce is unbeaten. But if you think about it, Joyce ain't really been in with caliber guys. This is why this is an excellent matchup. This is a true, truly, truly 50-50 fight.
Yes.
There's that. There's your little legend, Jazza Dickens.
Yeah, Jazza.
Yeah. He's fighting Carlos Ramos, right? Carlos Ramos, former European champion. Carlos Ramos can fight, you know? So that fight, that's a nice fight.
I wish Jazza were the best because he's one of them guys who's, you always want him to win.
Yeah.
Because he's a...
You remember when he fought Rogondo? If that was like, why would he
made that match?
Brother.
Went to near day. Trust me, I ain't fucked.
Right.
Who needs him club?
Yeah, 100%, right? That's a good fight. I'm wishing Jazza all the best in there.
Jazza fought, what's the boy from Sheffield?
Yeah. Kid Galahad.
Kid Galahad,
and he lost to Kid Galahad. And that was a good fight.
That was a good fight.
Yeah. Right, let's not get twisted.
I remember that fight.
Yeah, that was a good fight. At the time, both were unbeaten.
Yes.
Right? And from that's when people really prepped up to say, you know what? Galahad's going to do things. He can fight.
Yes.
You got, what's his name? Raju Najib. He's fighting Tyrone McCullough.
Yes.
Tyrone McCullough, southpaw. We just watched him a minute ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's decent. 13-0. He's got, I think he's got like 6 or 7 stoppages on his record as well.
Yeah.
So that's a good fight. And it's like, whoever wins, you go through to the next round.
Okay.
And then, boom, then the winner of that, then they have the final.
Who's your favourite for the whole?
The favourite for the whole thing?
Yes.
You know what? It's very difficult for you to say like the favourite for the whole thing. Because like if you look on experience.
Can I just say, me?
Yeah.
It's going to be the winner out of Ryan and Socrates.
Yeah. And I would say that as well. Because Ryan's he's been in proper world class.
Very experienced. Right? Very knowledgeable guy. It's mad when you get around the brothers, Ryan's always the one spitting the facts. So he's a student of the game. I mean, they're all, especially Liam is a student of the game. And all that helps. You know, when you know your craft and when you study your craft, it helps you as a fighter because knowledge is power. So I believe, I don't know about this, but this guy's Cuban.
Yeah.
Cubans, they live this because that's all they got. So you always know what you're going to get with a Cuban fighter. So very interesting. But just looking at that lineup, I would go for the winner of Ryan Roach and Socrates to win the whole competition.
Yeah. Who do you think is going to win that out? Socrates and Ryan Roach?
I'm going with Ryan. What would I look like supporting a man I don't know? I don't know. Like, they don't make no sense. And I never understand it. I'm like, the guy, we're from the UK. We've been in the gym together. I ain't supporting. You could be Mike Tyson. I don't know. Do you think there was any Mexicans supporting Floyd Mayweather when Canelo fought?
Not one.
No, so it's just a support thing. And I'm always going to support the UK guys. And Ryan, and not only that, Ryan is a honest and a consummate professional, like all of his brothers. And they was in the gym yesterday and I was talking to them and, Ryan, they don't...
Graham Evans still training, right?
Graham was right. There.
And I like that. Yes. And I think like Graham could come out with the right game plan.
Yes.
For them to... And I got him winning on points in that fight. I got him winning on points. But he's just going to be wearing them overhand rights. I'm watching it, and this man. This man's looking to bowl you over. Yeah,
one thing I always knew about Cubans, they can punch. I don't know. And it's got to be the toughness. Yeah. It's, toughness breeds toughness. And you've seen it. Riddengel, Gamboa, all these guys. But when they, to beat them, historically, you're going to have some. And I believe Ryan has got that, so... To me, that's the fight of the night, and we'll wait and see.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to the show. So, anyone here, golden ticket, a golden contract. So, that's going to be something to look out for. All right, fantasy fights, yeah. This is how I know I'm ready for Bubble Tunde Ajayi today, right? Fantasy fights.
Go ahead.
Ivan Drago.
Yeah.
Versus Clubberland. Come on, let's hear it now. Let me hear that one. That's what I want to know. Who would have you got in there?
That is serious.
Right.
You ain't so bad. You ain't so bad.
Yeah, just like the chicken you better run.
Trust me.
Get out of my face. I don't want a has-been in my corner.
Gotta go for Clubber.
Yeah?
Gotta go for Clubber. Because I just... the roughness and the toughness. It would just get to Drago. The roughness and toughness would get to Drago. And the inside work from Clubber. Yeah, that's what I'm going for. Clubber Lang.
Yeah? Nah, bro.
That's what you're going for.
Nah, I would like to go for Clubber Lang.
Yes.
Right? But I know it's a Clubber Lang gas out.
That's the curry going rice.
He gas out, so I might get tired quick. You know what I mean? So I would go for look, and remember Drago was juiced up to the nines, yeah? Right. It was some different juice, some proper. And it wasn't just steroids, it was anabolic steroids. It was some power. He had some real chemist against. Right. So I would have favoured Ivan Drago, even though he was a raw novice,
okay,
right, in the film, come in the ring with one professional, one professional fight where he killer old has been, man, right? I would actually go for him about round eight because only Rocky Balboa could take those matches, bro.
Okay. Serious fight now. Roberto Duran against Floyd Mayweather.
At what weight? Then I'm gonna go to history. If we look, the Roberto Duran that fought Sugar Ray Leonard in 1980.
Come on, spit the facts
now. Right, I'm spitting the facts now. I don't care what welterweight. I think there was only one welterweight in history that could have dealt with that man. But his reign was short lived. Now we have to say, where do we rate Roberto Duran as his greatness? His greatness was in the world title defenses that he made from beating Ken Buchanan and going on. Then he had five fights and moved up to, he had five fights in the middle as lightweight champion, but there were preliminary fights at welterweight trying to test the waters. Then he fought Sugar Ray Leonard. So I would have said the Roberto Duran that beat Sugar Ray Leonard would have beaten Floyd Mayweather. That Roberto Duran, but the lightweight Roberto Duran against the lightweight Floyd, when Floyd was pretty boy Floyd at lightweight, to me, Roberto Duran is the greatest lightweight of all times. Right? Period. Anyone that argue, right? And if you go through history, then there's some really good guys at lightweight, like Benny Leonard, who's a genius, technical genius, right? But I would say at lightweight, then I've got Roberto Duran winning.
So against. You've got, you heard it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
People.
At lightweight.
At welterweight.
I would say Floyd would have most probably could have dealt with him. Because he only had one epic win. And that was against Ray Leonard. And then you know the lifestyle of Roberto Duran and how he was living. But I would say at lightweight.
Okay, so we got 1-1.
Yeah.
The next one, fantasy matchup.
Go on.
Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Yeah.
Against Triple G.
Come on, man. Hagler will stop Triple G. Listen, Hagler was a different breed. Like,
Hagler fans out there.
Right. I want people to realize this.
Come on, spit the knowledge.
Yeah, thank you. 1980, when Marvin Hagler came over here.
Yes.
And fought Alan Minta.
Right? Yes.
Alan Minta.
Was that the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, and they just fring bottles.
No, but it was a Royal Rumble.
Right? That Marvin Hagler, that guy who went on and made successful title defenses all the way from 1980
Jesus.
To April 6th.
Come on, knowledge.
Right? 1987, 7-year span. Right?
Amazing.
Amazing. And people get gassed. I'm not saying that Golovkin's not a good fighter. Golovkin had 300-odd amateur fights. Golovkin can fight. You know what I mean? How many fights did he have in the World Series? Yeah, right? Golovkin can fight.
Yes.
Right? I remember saying like, oh, when people saying like, oh, Triple G. I'm saying, no, he should change his name to GBH. Right? Because he was serious. But Marvin Hagler was a fantastic boxer who's never really given the credit as a boxer because of his look, his aesthetic look and everything. But he was an incredible boxer. Go and watch his second fight with Vitor Antifermo. Go and watch his two wars with Mustafa Hamcho. Mustafa Hamcho weren't no joke. He had one of the best chins ever, but Marvin Hagler still stopped him. So I'm looking at Golovkin, I'm saying, Hagler was the guy. And that's that. And we're forgetting, well, like I said, we're living in a culture now where it's fashionable to be uncultured. Yeah. Some people don't check. We don't check. When someone hears something in 1980, these kids were just born in 97.
Yes.
Right? 97 is last week to us. You know what I mean? But to these young... So Marvin Hagler, Triple G would have given him trouble, right? Because he has got vicious power. And Marvin Hagler even admitted himself saying, well, I think Triple G, yeah, he's power. But no, Hagler was my guy. I think Hagler would have beaten him because Hagler could be able to take that power. He could take it. He took Tommy Hearns' right hand. Right, Tommy Hearns' right hand could knock down skyscrapers. That's not my saying. That's Hugh McAvaney saying that. He was a ridiculous puncher. So I would have had... Also, go watch young kids. Marvin Hagler versus K-Man Lee. K-Man Lee weren't no joke. K-Man Lee was Sean O'Cromedian. He was a knockout man. Mm. Right? Marvin Hagler's walked through that and he ate that for breakfast. You know what I mean? Marvin Hagler, I eat him out like Pac-Man. He was serious. So I got Hagler winning that fight.
Okay. Let's move to the heavyweights now.
All right.
Joe Louis versus Lennox Lewis. That's the one. Joe Louis versus Lennox Lewis. Right. Come on, give me some facts, Spencer. Don't,
Joe Louis,
don't get personal.
Lennox. Joe Louis, he's, what was it, 11 and a half year reign as heavyweight champion of the world.
Jeez.
Right? You can't make 25 defenses. You can't muck around with that, right?
I remember, sorry, off subject. I studied every piece of footage on Joe Louis.
He was incredible. You know, you study him a lot as well. You should try and copy his style a little bit. Was Howard Eastman.
Because he was the heavyweight Sugar Ray Robinson.
He was perfect. Yeah, he was. He was perfect. And it's kind of weird that you say he was the heavyweight Sugar Ray Robinson. Sugar Ray Robinson used to be his bag carrier. Right?
Mm.
So Sugar Roberts used to idolise Joe Louis. You know what I mean? And one time I read in a book.
So that, yeah, like he was an homage.
Yeah. So even though you're saying that, it was because Sugar Robinson used to teeth nothings from him. And that's how it goes. When you're around things like
that. Ali respected Sugar Robinson.
Right, exactly. So and if you're around those guys, you're gonna steal their bits and bobs.
Yes.
In a fantasy fight, you'd have to say that Joe Louis wouldn't be 200 pounds. Joe Louis, to be realistic, in a fantasy fight, you say like, Joe Louis, if you match them up proper, Joe Louis would be like a 225 or 230 fighter, right? If it was like today's time,
yes.
Right? And if Joe Louis was a bit susceptible with shots, I remember Tony Galante knocked him over, right? Overhand right. And he was a little bit susceptible to getting shots, getting knocked out by Max Smelling. Right, but
Rocky Marciano knocked him out.
Like he was shot them times there.
He was 79 years old.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, right? But Joe Louis, like
Joe Louis
was actually he was perfect. He was perfect. He was perfect, and. But Lennox could punch
could
man.
He
but Lennox could punch man.
That's what I'm saying. Could he deal with the physicality and the boxing technique of Lennox Lewis? Because to this day, I mean, again, it's another fantasy fight. Well, it wasn't fantasy because it did happen. And the fans may shout at me, but I believe Lennox would have beat Mike Tyson at any time.
You know what? And I agree with you, you know?
Anytime.
Right? And that's no disrespect to Mike Tyson.
No, right? It's not.
But Lennox's style of fight.
He would have beat Mike Tyson when he was 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old. Just because of the way Lennox boxes and the power in his right hand.
Yeah, no, that power was very serious. Yeah, I mean, just look at the way he knocked out Rankman in a rematch.
Oh.
That just shows you. Oh. And Lennox was shot them times. Not shot, but he was past his best.
Yes.
Right? That was a serious knockout. I would favour Lennox Lewis because Lennox Lewis, there's days where you get me and Lennox Lewis is my top three of all time heavyweights. Then there's days where you get me, well, I'll change it all the time. Yeah, I mean, I was like to say great is great. But maybe Lennox Lewis could have dealt with Joe Louis. I mean, to be real. But Joe Louis is still one of my favourite fighters of all time. You know what I mean? And that's the truth.
Just so young people out there, go and study Joe Louis. fantastic heavyweight mover, had his left hand low.
Yep, yep, and it'll catch the shot.
It'll catch the shot.
Boom! I remember Henry Cooper told a story, right? That Joe Louis came over to the UK. So this must have been about, I don't know, 48 times there.
Yes.
When he's thinking about making his comeback, right? And he came and he was sparring at the Thomas A. Beckett gym.
Yes, right? Famous gym.
And he was sparring with some sparring guy. And the guy, Joe Louis would just catch him and just punch him on the arms.
Mm.
Right? Nothing major. Just catch, tap the arms. He said, after 3 rounds of Joe Louis doing that, the guy couldn't even raise his arms.
I don't think you should be giving these secrets.
Right, I know.
I'm giving that's for my fights. So all the opposition, we're gonna start covering up themselves now.
So no, but that's what you do. Joe Louis, fantastic fighter, man. That's absolutely fantastic. And you know what? On certain things, I like to just admire great fighters.
Yes.
And sometimes I don't want to get drawn into where to rank them and this, that. Yes. I just like to admire great fighters.
Same.
Just like Willie Peck's my favorite fighter. One of my favorite fighters of all time. I got if I had to go my top 5 favorite fighters, they may not be you lot's cup of tea, but my top 5, Gene Tunney's there, right? Gene Tunney was absolute genius. You guys go watch Gene Tunney. Gene Tunney, former American heavyweight champion.
Sorry to cut you. We need to do a show just on the past legends.
Yeah, 100%. That's
this
coming.
This show's called The Welterweights, but we need to do a show on the past legends because I feel that history is a subject that the young ones have forgotten.
They don't touch on history. And what you have to remember that history just repeats, right?
Exactly.
It repeats, it improves, but it repeats. So someone else is going to become someone else. This is just how it goes. But like I said, you young kids, go watch Gene Tunney and you will understand how superb this guy was. He was absolutely perfect. Gene, go watch Gene Tunney. Just what I'm saying to you. That is it. Gene Tunney was, he had a little bounce in his step. He'd be always constantly moving, catch, throw out the jab. The catch cow got popularized by him. He was the one that brought, not saying he was the first to invent it, but he was the first man to make it popular because he was the world heavyweight champion when he beat Jack Dempsey. So you go watch that and then the stories of the long count and everything else. But in a rematch, the guy's a genius, man. That guy's my guy, man. Seriously, him, Willie Pep's another guy. Go watch Willie Pep. People want to tell, I remember, was it Roger Mayweather said to you about Willie Pep?
Oh, yes.
Man, what do you do? Yes. No, Willie Pep was serious, bro. Yes. Go watch Willie Pep. That's another one of my guys. But
we're gonna do a show on that.
We have to.
Well, listen, Spence, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, man, 100%.
The first episode of The Fight Is Right.
Come on down.
With your host, the one and only Master Knowledge, Spencer Fearon.
And the one and only Master Genius, Baba Tunde Ajayi.
Remember to like, comment and subscribe to the Stamina for Soul YouTube channel.